Well, welcome to 2022. I got a question for you. Christmas. Now, depending on your age, will determine kind of maybe how you answer this. So I'm going to ask the question first, and then I'll come back to it. Did you look forward to and enjoy Christmas more when you were a kid or now? Now, some of you in here are kids, so obviously you can't really go back and look too back far. If you're a teenager, you can kind of go back a little ways and you can think, okay, when I was elementary versus now. And the rest of you, well, you're too old to. Obviously, it's just a kid or now. So, with that being said, now I'm going to have you raise your hand. How many of you looked forward to, enjoyed Christmas more when you were a kid? Man. Okay, how many of you look forward to it more now? Hey. Now, it was flipped. Now, we had both in the first service, but it was flipped a little bit where when you were a kid, it enjoyed more than now. I was going to, this next question, I was going to do it a little bit different. I was going to ask you this question, which is this. What was either your best gift or one of the gifts you either gave or got this year that you liked? And then I was going to, after asking you that question, which I am asking it to you now, and I want you to think that in your head, I was just going to say, okay, now the people that are around you, why don't you just kind of share that a little bit? Just tell what it was. But then I thought, you know what? What if the person next to you is a spouse and your gift was something you liked, but it wasn't what they gave you, and then somebody's feelings got hurt? So we're not going to do that at all. But I do want you to think about gift you gave or got. Because as the magi, the wise men, brought three gifts to Jesus today, I want us to look at some three gifts as we move into 2022 that can make 2022 a good year. Now, I do remember a year ago looking to 2021 and thinking what a year we had in 2020 and going, oh man, 2021 has got to be so much better. And then 2021 was much of the same. But there is that thing that comes along with New Year's is that this next year can be different. It can be good. And these three gifts that I want to talk about, actually, despite what 2022 turns out to be, can make your year better if you have these three gifts. I'm going to read some scriptures, and along the way, as I read the scriptures, you're probably going to begin to guess what the gifts are. But I'm going to start with, and I'm just going to be reading randomly through a variety of different texts. And if you're really good and fast, you can follow along. You may just want to listen and remember. I'm going to start in Thessalonians. I'm going to end up in 1 Corinthians 13. And I'm going to go a variety of places in between. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 2 and 3 says this. We give thanks to God always for all of you, making mention of you in our prayers, constantly bearing in mind your work of faith, your labor of love, and your steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the presence of our God and Father. Jump over to Hebrews chapter 10, beginning with verse 36, and I'm going to continue on into chapter 11 just a bit. It says, you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. For yet in a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the preserving of the soul. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for. It is the conviction of things not seen. For by it, men of old gained approval. And without faith, jump into verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please God, for the one who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. I'm going to flip back to Luke, conversation Jesus and his apostles are having. In the conversation, Jesus says, be on your guard. If your brother sins, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. If he sins against you 7 times a day and returns 7 times saying, I repent, forgive him. To this, the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. So Jesus says, if you have faith like a mustard seed, you would say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and be planted in the sea, and it would have obeyed. Then Romans chapter 4, beginning with verse 18, talking about Abraham. In hope, against hope, he believed, so that he might become a father of many nations, according to that which had been spoken, so shall your descendants be. Without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Yet, with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but he grew strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully assured that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. Romans 15:13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And then John, the book of John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. And then later on in John, the night before Jesus is crucified, he's having a long conversation with his apostles, and he says this, chapter 13, 34 and 35, a new command I give you, love one another, even as I have loved you. You also love one another. By this, all men will know that you're my disciples, if you love one another. Later on in that night, in that same vein of the conversation, he says this again in chapter 15. This is my command, that you love one another just as I have loved you. For greater love has no one than this, than one lay down his life for his friends. And I close in 1 Corinthians 13. When I was a child, I used to speak like a child, think like a child, reason like a child. When I became a man, I did away with childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully, just as I've been fully known. But now faith, hope, love, these three remain. But the greatest of these is love. When I was a child, I used to speak like a child, obviously, because you're a child. You thought like a child, obviously, because you were a child. Well, we celebrated Christmas a little bit differently when we were kids as opposed to now. When we were kids, we were absorbed. We loved the getting of presents. You might have wanted that Red Ryder BB gun or whatever else it was that you looked forward to. As you got a little older, some things changed a little bit. You began to like watching others open what you got them. See the facial expressions and the joy that might come with knowing you got just the right gift. Well, today I have 3 gifts that I want us to talk about. This first gift is a gift of faith. Faith. Now, when I go back to the Christmas story, I see 2 characters in the story that kind of stand out as people who demonstrated faith. And there are 2 of those characters that kind of come on the scene. They're kind of in the middle part of the of the stable manger scenes that we see. The first one being Mary. Mary being, outside of Jesus, probably the most well-known character in the Christmas story. Because that's kind of where it began, as the angel came to Mary telling her, here's what's going to happen to you. And Mary, I'm sure she had a lot of questions. She voiced some of those questions, like, how's this really going to be? That kind of stuff. And I wonder if she, when the angel left, how many more questions she wanted to know. But her response, after hearing the angel and voicing a question or two, her response was, I quote, may it be done to me according to your word. For you see, Mary took what the angel was telling her from God, an unbelievable thing, and yet she believed. She took the angel at his word and said, may it be done to me. And then she sings or writes this song that we have later on in Luke chapter 1. The second figure in the story is her soon-to-be husband, Joseph. Now, Joseph was going to, like, nah, I'm not going to do this until the angel comes to him. Angel comes to him in a dream and says, hey, Joseph, what Mary's saying is true. This, she is with child who is going to be the Son of God. You're going to call him Jesus. When Joseph wakes up, what does he do? He does what the angel commanded. He believed what the angel had said. He now believed what Mary had said earlier to him. And it says he did what the angel commanded. Mary and Joseph demonstrating their faith, demonstrating and putting into action what they were believing now in their head. Faith. Faith is a belief, and it is sometimes translated trust, but it's not just a, oh yeah, I agree that with my head. Yeah, I believe that that is maybe true, but faith is belief on steroids. It is trusting that what you say you believe in your head, you're also going to act upon with your actions. Faith is something that is rooted in past, but it is not. And I've watched enough movies, I'm going to call them sappy movies, and some of them are good, and some of them make you cry and those things. But in the conversation, sometimes somebody will come along and say, you don't have to see it, you just got to have faith. And to that I will agree with, partially, but sometimes in that movie, it makes as if it's only real because I have faith in it, but none of us can see it. But because I have faith, it's real. Whereas I would say true faith, a biblical faith in God is not, it's only real because I have faith in it. It's we have faith in something that is real and of substance. And even though we can't see all things about it, there is something rooted in past history. There is some evidence, there are some facts that give us some basis upon which we can believe even the things we cannot see with our eyes. So we have to trust the witness, the eyewitness accounts. We have to trust what somebody else has seen and written down for us. We have to trust what we kind of know to be there. Many of you have driven a car in the fog, and you can only see 20 feet out in front of the car, and you keep driving. Why is that? Because you trust and you believe that that road is going on, and it goes on beyond what you can just see. And life is, a lot of life is like that. It is lived in a fog to where we can only see so far, and we trust what is out there. We trust what is being said. We trust the map that says there's a road. We trust the map that says there is something better, something different. Faith leads to action. It leads to works, always. Because faith isn't faith unless it is backed up by things that you do, by how you live things out. James will tell us that. You cannot have faith without having these works, these actions. because it will give evidence and it will prove that it is made possible by how you respond to what you believe. It is believing and obeying. And it is this gift that we give to God, and it's an ongoing gift. A gift that we did, that we first gave when we said yes to Jesus. Yes, I believe you. Yes, and we then were baptized into Christ. Yes, I'm obedient by what I do each day. I'm obedient to what God says. Okay, act this way, do these things, live this way. When we act that way and live that way, then we demonstrate our faith. Hebrews chapter 11, that I just read parts of it. If I had just kept going on, one of the things you would have seen where it said, by faith, and then it would demonstrated the faith of different men and women. By faith, Abel. And here's what it says. By faith, Abel offered a sacrifice. By faith, Noah built an ark. Notice the verbs. By faith, Abraham obeyed. By faith, Isaac and Jacob blessed. By faith, Joseph gave orders about his bones so that they would be taken from this land to when they go back to their homeland, take them with them. That's going to be years down the road. By faith, Moses chose to endure ill treatment. By faith, Moses kept the Passover. By faith, Moses left Egypt. By faith, Rahab welcomed spies. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. By faith, others were conquered. By faith, others acted righteously. You notice the trend. You see it. By faith, somebody did something. By faith, what may it be said of you? By faith, Ken. By faith, Jeremy. By faith, Julie. By faith, Tom. By faith, Sarah. By faith, you, what may it be said of you? By faith, you stood up for injustice. By faith, you overcame some of your weaknesses. By faith, you stepped out. By faith, you stepped up. By faith, you led your family to Jesus. By faith, you changed the course of your family's direction. By faith, you suffered for the sake of the gospel. By faith, what may it be said of you? Will faith in 2022 be your ongoing gift to God? There's another gift. A gift is the gift of hope. And in our Christmas story, I see another couple of people that demonstrate the gift of hope. First, I see an old man. His name is Simeon. He comes onto the scene after the manger scene, after the days of purification, 3 weeks of after a Jewish boy is born. Then they go to the temple to give their sacrifice. And for Mary and Joseph, it's these turtle doves and pigeons because they can't afford the sheep stuff. So they do that. And while they're there at the temple, this old man Simeon sees Jesus and gets to hold him. And one of the things it says about Simeon is he was waiting for the consolation, waiting for the salvation of Israel. He was looking forward to this Messiah that would come like everybody else was, but it said it had been revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Christ, the Messiah. For years, people had looked for and longed for this Messiah to come. And now he lives with the hope that I'm not going to die until I actually see the Messiah. And when holding in his arms the baby Jesus, his words are, "Now your servant may depart in peace. I have seen the Lord's salvation." Simeon lived with this longing expectation of hope that life was going to be better because the Messiah was coming and he would see it in his own time. The other characters are ones that we don't see at the manger scene. Oh, we'll see them in our nativity sets because somehow we got to get them there. But By the time they show up, Mary and Joseph and the baby are in a house. And it's going to take them a long time to get there because they're traveling a long, long distance, hundreds and hundreds of miles, because they've seen this star. And that star, for them, represents something. There's something different about this star, and they go because they're looking into it, and they're finding out some things about King of the Jew being born. Why would men from Babylon, Persia area, most likely, why would they be coming at a great distance looking for this King of the Jews being born? Why does it matter so much to them? I think a couple of reasons. Think back a few centuries prior to that when the Babylonians took into captivity many people and took them back with them. They took some young men because they knew that they were well-learned. These are smart boys. We know the names of four of them, Daniel. And then we know the other three by not their Jewish names, but by their Babylonian names, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Or VeggieTales calls them Rack, Shack, and Benny. And for me to remember him, it was always Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know, that was kind of how I remember him. But those, Nebuchadnezzar, they were so impressed with these young men, they put them in their wise men group. They put them a part of their magician, the ones who seemed to know. And Daniel, over and over again, demonstrated as God would utilize him to interpret dreams. Daniel lasted longer than the rest of the Babylonian Empire because then he was there throughout and into the Persian Empire, through the Medes and then the Persians. And my guess is that those men and some of the others that were taken and their generations that followed them kind of continued on within the same group of Magi who have historical roots all the way back to the Judean place in their history. And yet, mixed in with some of the others, I think it is a longing for a people who also, besides the Jewish people, that were looking for this Messiah who would change the world. Isaiah, one of the prophets, said, talking about Jesus, that he would be a light to the Gentiles. Jesus didn't just come for Jewish people, he came for the entire world. And aren't we thankful? Simeon, the Magi, people who, in the Christmas story, exhibited hope. Hope, that confident expectation of something better. Hope has in, whereas faith is kind of rooted in past, hope is this longing for something better. Like the men and women of old who demonstrated their faith, one of the things it says is they were looking for something better. We all want things to be better. We want 2022 to be better than 21 and 20. But every year we always want things to be better, especially when things are terrible, when things are bad, when we've had a bad year, we've had a bad season, when we've had a bad time, when things have not looked so well, we really long for things to be better. No different than these people here. And many of them, it was not better for a long time. And sometimes, ultimate better, they were still looking for something, even as they were approaching death, to something that would be better for all mankind down the road. And so they had hope. Hope. It's a little bit different than the gift of faith, because hope really, now sometimes you can give that to others, but today I'm looking at hope is a gift for you. Gift that comes to you that keeps you going. Whereas faith is our ongoing gift to God, this is hope is the gift that keeps us going. Hope. Everywhere we look, we sometimes see the lack of it. We see people who tend to be giving up, who seem to have lost some hope. And so we look around society and we see crime waves rampant in places, and we see suicides that are up. Why is that? We see people that go in depression and despair and then just want to give up or do give up. Part of the reason they do is because they don't think it's going to get any better. I've known people, I once knew an elder who took his life after I moved to Amarillo. I got a call one Sunday morning because he headed back into depression, a depression that he had once gone through and did not want to go through it again and didn't want to put his family through it. And in his loss of hope, that thinking it's going to be worse, he took his life. Did it make it better? No, it didn't. Sometimes people don't quite see everything correctly when they lose hope. And everywhere we look, we see people that give up in one way or another. But hope, it sort of livens things up. It can lighten things when our world gets a little dark. Now, some of you get Billy Kirsch's newsletter that he sends out to the kids. Any of you get that? Yeah. He sends one out to the parents of kids and stuff. And this week, something caught my attention when I was just looking through it, because it said, fun as an act of hope. So it intrigued me. So I went, and some lady by the name of Sarah Hauser, never heard of her. I don't know who she is, but had written this article. And I want to read just an excerpt of what she writes in it, because it... she's talking about fun, and I have to say this. I'm not the most fun guy in the world. My family will attribute that. Now, I'm funny, but I'm not the kind of person... Okay, now that's... Yeah, we'll just say I'm funny. But the way some people attribute fun... Now, I may have fun, but it doesn't look like fun to everybody else. I'm having fun watching Oklahoma Sooners play, and I'm having more fun when they win. And I'm enjoying it, but my wife doesn't think I'm having fun with it. And I am, even though it doesn't look like that. And the way I'm yelling, she doesn't think I'm having fun, but I am. But it's different. But a lot of the parties that, let's go do this, that's not me. Sometimes I need to learn some of that. And so I read this because sometimes fun can actually be truly an act of hope. Life isn't all fun and games, of course. That's painfully clear, she writes. But I wonder if some of us could use a moment to look up from the task of the day or set aside the burdens of the world and make space to laugh again. In the book of Zechariah, chapter 8, verse 5, God promises that one day when He restores all that's been broken, the city will be a place, quote, full of girls and boys playing in the streets. Playing, laughter, fun. Those are not useless endeavors. They're acts of hope. And this is the sentence that got me. Fun gives us a way to stare into the darkness and say, you will not win. And that fun and laughter can sometimes refuel us enough to return to our task and even our tears with renewed strength and purpose. I think we can endure the hard times when we regularly remind ourselves that joy still exists. So here's to having more fun this year. It may take an extra measure of creativity and thought, but let's not let fun slip through our fingers. Whether it's a 10-minute break to read a fiction book, playing basketball in the driveway, coloring with new pencils, or finally going on that camping trip, I hope you can make some fun happen this month. I bet we all could use a little more of it. Hope. Hope, that gift that keeps us going. Now the third gift I'm guessing you've already probably figured out what it is. You guys are smart, educated people. What is it? Love. That's correct. Now, don't think because this gift is smaller than those boxes that it's less or less important. Paul will say in Corinthians, but the greatest of these is love. In the telling of the Christmas story, love is durable. Yeah. In the telling of the Christmas story, another two stand out to me. One of those is one I've used already, Joseph. Because I see Joseph demonstrating love in a couple of ways with Mary. After finding out, okay, she's with child, it says, because he was a righteous man, he did not want to scorn her. He did not want to disgrace her. He was going to do things quietly and secretly because, and I believe, he truly did love Mary. And we might even say, well, then why was he going to put her away? Why was he going to divorce her there? Their culture, we might have done the same thing. We might have done the same in this culture. But after getting that dream with the angel, he quickly changes his mind and he takes her home, and from that point on, takes her home to be his wife. You know, we often hear in the Christmas story about Mary being this, you know, she's this homeless, unwed, pregnant teenager, which that's not true. She's not homeless. They were traveling. They went from their home in Nazareth to travel to Bethlehem for this census. Probably teenager, we don't know how old, but probably that. Not unwed, actually, Joseph does, and Matthew will tell us, he takes her home to be his wife, but he says he kept her a virgin until after Jesus was born. So they never really consummated them. So in some ways, they were still espoused, but not truly married in that sense. But here's Joseph demonstrating love to the woman who was going to be his wife. The other is kind of obvious that we, you know, hopefully don't ever overlook it, because it's the one who authored this whole Christmas story to begin with, and that is God. The ultimate act of love was the giving of Jesus. When Jesus was given to us as a gift, God was bringing light to a dark world. God was bringing hope to a hopeless people. God was bringing salvation to a sin-filled, sin-sick society. For God so loved the world that he gave. God gave us the gift of love that came in the gift of his Son. And in Jesus, we see, as he grew up, we see what God's love was like. We saw, as we saw Jesus do things, we began to see, oh, that's what God is like. And then eventually Jesus demonstrated what he had already said the night before he was crucified, that greater love has no one than this, that one would lay down his life for others. Love, though, it's not just an emotion. Love is an act. It's not some superficial attraction, but it's a deeper commitment. As the great country and Western theologian Clint Black sang, love is not something that we're in, but it is something that we do. Faith was rooted in the past. Hope longs for a better future, but love lives in the present. It is acting in ways that is for the benefit of others, for the other person. What's best for them in the situation and for us, not just what's best for me. The world doesn't need any more silly love songs. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. Okay, maybe not that silly love song either, but it does need the truth of it. The love needs people. I mean, the world needs people to demonstrate what love really is. It needs Christian men and women to demonstrate what Jesus was like, how God would be if he was here in front of you. That's how I will act. Love is a gift that you give to others. Now, I closed up in 1 Corinthians 13 as I was reading, and I'm going to come back to 1 Corinthians 13 because I want us to take inventory as we begin to look at how can we love others. I want to go to this passage because it, quite honestly, we use it too often at weddings and not any other time, which is very good to use at a wedding and very good for marriages if we act this way, but it's how we should act always. And as I read through some of these things, I want you to look at yourself and go, oh, is this me? Do I love in this manner? Love is patient. Or if I was to insert a name, David is kind. Kendry does not brag. Mike is not arrogant. It starts to get personal when you put your names in it, doesn't it? Love does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. Basically, it's not selfish. And we live in what I call a selfie-ish society. We take a lot of selfies. It is not easily provoked, not easily angered. It does not take into account a wrong suffered. It does not just hold on to the grudges when you've been wronged. It does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but it rejoices with truth. And it says it bears and believes and hopes and endures. Love never fails. Truly, when we act in love, it does not fail. So when I think of this and having this before us, how are you at loving? Are you patient? Best gift you can give to somebody else is to demonstrate love to them. When you're kind. Now, it doesn't say love is nice. It says love is kind. There is a difference. Because sometimes a kind thing to do doesn't always appear nice. But it's what's best. Love is not selfish. It's not seeking its own. It's not bragging about me and pointing to the name on my back of my jersey all the time. This gift we give to others, it's for their benefit. So as we close, I want us to look at each of those gifts. The gift of faith, it's an ongoing gift that we give to God. It's a gift that we have because of the grace of Jesus. We demonstrate by giving faith to God and believing what He has told us. This gift of hope, when we are in faith, we have a hope that comes in Jesus. It's a hope that will keep us going even when life seems to kick us and knock us down and the world seems a little dark. Hope will bring light to the situation. This gift here, one to God, one to ourselves, one to give to others. Gift of love. If these three gifts are in your life, and in all three of them are being played out, your 2022 will be a good year, despite what comes in 2022. despite the heartache, the pain, the darkness that might be around, despite whether COVID stays here, brings another variant. I'm tired of variants. I hate the word variant now. Despite who we lose, despite any of the things in our lives, if these things in our lives, 2022 will be a good year. Like Mary, when she said, "May it be done to me according to your word," Christ truly did come into her. But in a different way, when we demonstrate faith to God, Christ comes into us. And then Paul tells us that Christ in us, in the book of Colossians, Christ in us is our hope of glory. And when Christ is in us, when Christ is in you, Christ in you is patient. Christ in you is kind. When you allow Christ to live in you and to work through you, then you become those things to other people. 2022, it's here. It's three gifts. May you take them, may you give them, may they be a part of you. Let me pray. Father, I thank you for the gift of faith, that because of your grace, you have given to us and demonstrated it. Father, I thank you for the gift of hope, a gift that because of our faith in you, because of Jesus in us, that hope allows us to endure a lot of things. It allows us to keep going when we feel like giving up. It allows us to see the good when all we really can see is bad. It allows us to look for a better future. And Father, your gift of love, this gift of Jesus, our world truly does need love. And you said, "By all this will men know that you're my disciples if we love each other." May we truly love our brothers and sisters in Christ and love the neighbors around us, love our coworkers. And may Washington Avenue be a place where each of these gifts is evident by the actions of its people. Father, we thank you for the gift of Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen.